Hey, it's Dr. Gerber with another psychological podcast. And today's podcast is in response to a letter that I received from a listener whose initials are JT. And JT asked a bunch of questions about anxiety-related disorders after looking at my or listening to my podcast on Paxil. But his question really comes down to one point, and that is, why is it that when people have an anxiety disorder and they seek treatment for an anxiety disorder, even in a psychiatric facility, and they discuss substance issues, either casually or you know, in relationship to questions, that they seem to get sent to a more substance-oriented program. Now, this is an area that is not my specialty, but I happen to have an in-house partner, my lovely wife, Robin, who, in addition to the training that I have, is also trained in substance abuse and other psychoactive substances, and she has a certificate of proficiency in the treatment of alcohol and other psychoactive substances through the American Psychological Association. So let me introduce my wife and partner, Dr. Robin Schneider-Gerr. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
So you heard the question that JT sent me, and so my issue is, What happens when people are exhibiting an anxiety disorder and alcohol, and they go to a facility and then they mention alcohol use, and the next thing they know, they're being delegated to a substance abuse program? Why is that the case?
Well, I think it's normal for an intake interviewer to ask questions about a person's alcohol or drug history. And if they hear anything that gives them a red flag that this person is self-medicating for their anxiety, using alcohol to excess, then perhaps they would want the alcohol treatment to be first prior to treating the anxiety.
Would there be an issue of putting them on, let's say, Klonopin or another anti-anxiety if they're using alcohol?
Well, Klonopin is a very sedating drug, and alcohol is also sedating, so you certainly wouldn't want someone who is taking prescribed medication for anxiety to drink on top of that. That would definitely increase the effects of the Klonopin and potentially lead to a problem.
What if somebody just kind of says, well, you know, I drink every once in a while, like I drank on New Year's or I drank on, you know, on a holiday of some sort. Do the workers kind of take that as a distortion or maybe a misrepresentation sometimes?
I think that anyone who's doing an intake interview would be looking for alcohol use in a variety of settings. I mean, someone who just has a drink on New Year's and is truly being honest about that is very different from someone who drinks on a daily basis or two or three times a week. People do tend to want to look good to the intake interviewer, and as a result, I think tend to minimize the amount of alcohol that they consume. So it's up to the clinician to have a keen ear and be aware that even if what I'm being told is minimized, could that be potentially problematic under the circumstances?
What are the simple signs that someone may have a problem with alcohol?
I would definitely want to know what is the person's alcoholic beverage of choice. I would want to know how many drinks they can consume in a single setting. I would want to know if they've ever had any difficulties with the law, for example, a DWI or a DWI that was reduced to a lower charge. I would want to know if they have trouble getting up for work or they miss days at work because they've had too much to drink the night before. If alcohol has ever been a problem on an interpersonal level, family members saying you're drinking too much or I don't want you to drink at this party. Those would be the kinds of questions I would ask to find out if I thought the person was really drinking socially or possibly drinking to excess.
So is it possible, let's say somebody who is drinking more than they should would perceive, let's say, clinicians or intake therapists as being maybe judgmental or moral or you know, too restrictive in their perceptions of alcohol use?
It's entirely possible. I think people who are drinking to excess, even when they minimize, they still are saying a number of drinks per sitting as way higher than the typical social drinker would have. When I talk to someone and they say, well, I only had three is a lot of drinks if you're taking a medication like Klonopin.
Three also, I always found, could be three complete tumblers full of alcohol.
Exactly.
If somebody goes through, and it's just my own side question here, if somebody goes through, say, stopping your alcohol, they just stop cold, but they don't do any kind of 12-step program or they don't do any therapy, is that still a problem?
Well, there are a few schools of thought about that. The old way of thinking was that if a person just stopped drinking, they were called what's known as a dry drunk. In other words, they're not putting the alcohol into their body anymore, but they're still thinking like an alcoholic. The newer schools of thought see harm reduction as the goal. So if someone does stop drinking, they are reducing the harm that they are doing to themselves as far as putting a toxic substance into their body. It is still better to have some type of therapy once a person stops drinking because if alcohol has been their coping strategy for many years and they've never developed other coping strategies for anxiety or stress or depression, then they would be lacking and therapy would certainly fill that gap for them.
Terrific. I appreciate my listeners obviously would appreciate this information, and I appreciate giving me the time. And I want to thank you.
It's my
And
pleasure.
this has been the Doctor's Gurr, and you can see more about us at our website at www.drsgurr.com. Until next time, this is Dr. Howard Gurr.